Welcome to this episode of UMBC's Mic'd Up. My name is Denise Cardona from the Office of Professional Programs. We're joined by graduate instructor Paul Martin with UMBC's Systems Engineering Graduate Program. We hope you enjoy this episode. Well, welcome, Paul, to this episode of UMBC's Mic'd Up podcast. It's really wonderful to have you here with us today.
Thanks. I really appreciate this opportunity. I really do.
So, Paul, could you give me a little bit of a background on your path for teaching at UMBC?
Oh, actually, that's a fairly interesting story because being an engineer, I've been an engineer since the 70s, so it's like super old and stuff. But after a while, I actually was able, with the Navy, they actually sent me to school full time to get my master's degree in system engineering. And it took a while because I was out of school about 10 or so years. And I was back in the academic realm. It was fairly stressful. I had six kids, young kids, my wife and all. But it was full time, which was nice. And you think, oh, you're going full time. Isn't that? It was so much work because I had to go at night. You know, all these were night classes. And I was taking three or four, you know, a week at night. So I'd get up and go to school and get back at midnight, you know, get up, help with the kids, leave at noon, get back at midnight. What was neat about that is after a while, I just started getting into that rhythm of academia. And afterwards, after I got my degree and I was back at work, I actually kind of missed the academia research stuff. That was just really interesting to me. And then I found out I kind of had a little capability of teaching when I actually started teaching my at church at the Sunday school with the kids and stuff. And it was really kind of fun. I realized I liked it. So just out of the blue, the dean of the UMBC System Engineering came to me and I just saw them. We were talking about something else. I said, well, you know, and they were just starting the program. And I just casually mentioned, I would love to try that, you know, to try to teach. And he said, okay, let's do this. So we got together. It was a group of us of different people teaching different classes. And we were trying to map out how to make it work and stuff like that. And I slowly began to realize, oh my gosh, I don't know as much about system engineering as I thought I did. And I actually, through the process of preparing the class and getting the various topics together and figuring out our objectives, I actually got much better. And of course that was 15 years ago. And so it's a lot, I think I'm a little better at it. My first year was absolutely horrible. I got terrible feedback. I was a dictator and blah, blah, blah. And my dean was like, no, you don't understand. Every teacher goes through this. Their first year is always horrendous. And I was like, oh, okay. And it did humble me. And so I actually start each class. I said, look, I don't want this to be a monologue. I want it to be a dialogue. So please interrupt me at any point and let's talk about either the point that maybe I'm not making very well, or maybe one of your experiences, I would love you to contribute to the class. So I actually start a lot of that. I really try to encourage that dialogue within my classes. So that's how I got started. That was probably a longer story than you needed, sorry.
No, that was really interesting to listen to. A few things that came to my mind was the fact that you, because you were an adult student and you were balancing six kids,
yes,
plus going to school full time, you are probably very empathetic as an instructor because your understanding of a student's struggle to achieve that work-life balance, because that is one of the major struggles that adult students
and
have.
And actually, I try to discourage students when they say, oh, can I take your class plus this other class? But I said, you don't understand. You're a graduate class. I'm going to ask you, you know, to perform at the graduate level. And if your family and work life and now this is too much for you, just do one class at a time. Don't go trying to get it all done at once. So I do try to encourage students to pace it out. Now, there are some students that come in right after they get their like bachelor's degree, and they may just have work perhaps and not a family yet. That might work for them, but I do try to encourage students to keep in mind the amount of effort it takes to get through one of these classes at a graduate level. So,
yeah, that's really important. And, you know, you're doing that because you want the best for your students,
yeah,
I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And you don't want them to fail. You want them to succeed. And it's an honest assessment of the instruction that they're going to get.
Yeah.
And the other point that I got from what you said was that the more practice you get, the more growth you get. And it sounds like that's what happened with you. That
absolutely.
Through that honest self-assessment that you
gave. No, that's true. And there are actually certain concepts that I struggled with at the beginning, trying to teach them and work with them. And then after a while, kind of light bulb went on. And I actually have a better way of teaching them and stuff. I have this one thing I do where I teach the difference between a measure of effectiveness to measure a performance to a technical performance measure. And I tell you, I actually lived that as a system engineer, and I was still struggling with it. And then finally trying to keep teaching it, I actually started to realize the differences. MOEs are a mission-oriented thing. MOP is more of the system, looking at that. And then TPMs is more the system element. And if you kind of get that straight in your mind, you kind of get a better sense of that. So I really try to stress to the students to get that out. You'd be amazed. I mean, when you're out in the field actually working system engineering, no one sits you down and says, here's this vast machine you're part of, and you're just one cog within that machine. And my whole aspect of what I try to teach these students, and this comes out through our redesign of 660, is the whole idea of context. And so in the system engineering handbook that ENCOSI puts out, and it's based on a ENCOSI standard 15288, and I mean ISO standard, and the ISO standard is actually international, and this is the way they want people around the world to think about engineering. And it's within this context of an organization that has an agreement with another organization to produce a system. So you come up with a project. And when you have a project, you need to support the technical processes. So the 15288 actually discusses that. And of course, the handbook goes into more detail. So when I teach the handbook, which I must admit can get kind of dry, you're reading all these like processes. And you're reading process, and the way they put it in is like chapter 4 is technical processes. You're like, oh, that's great. That's what I do. This is great. And then it's agreements, like contracts and stuff. You're like, oh, yeah, I kind of know what the contract people do. That's cool. Oh, program management, you know, the management stuff. You're like, yeah, I interface with them all the time. And then all of a sudden you're at the organization. You're like, portfolio management, HR, what's happening to my life here? And you're in chapter 7. You know, and I'm just like, and so what I do is I kind of say, why don't we start with chapter 7? Just explain where the organization, and they have these needs and they want to work this stuff out. And from the organization, contracts, project, and then boom, the technical processes. So now you're in a cog in this machine and the upper management is asking for metrics and you're like, I'm trying to work here. Why are you giving me this metric thing? Well, now you understand metrics go into the program assessment and control, which goes into project planning, which goes into the portfolio management. So I try to explain how that all kind of interconnects in the context so that at least you don't get lost. And believe me, I wish somebody taught me this when I was a young man, because I have very few regrets in my life. But from a career standpoint, I do regret a lot of my system engineering choices I made when I was young, because I just didn't have context and I just didn't know where I was. I really should have, when I was working for the Navy, I should have been concentrating on the product and helping the system. And instead, I was just so focused on process. We got to get this process right, you know, And I really learned, even through teaching and stuff like that, and I really try to stress to my students, if a process has no value, please get rid of it. You do not need to waste your customer's time, your time, or the what you're trying to accomplish within the mission that you're trying to put your system into by having a useless process. So having your, and a lot of people complain about system engineers. We're all about process and documentation and stuff like that. No, we need to be concerned about the mission and making sure that it's actually successful. And to get that mission successful is to get a system that's required to make the mission work. So what kind of process and documentation do you need? And process and documentation is also needed from the organization standpoint, because they're actually the ones that want that repeatability. It's like I build a plane, right? And I want to build another plane for another customer. I can't just start from scratch. You've already showed me how to build that plane. Let's document all that, get the processes in place, and then actually try to work that through.
Wow. So you brought up a great point about value. And that's true of anything in life, right? Like if something is not showing value, you know, that's a question I ask myself a lot. Does this add any value to my life? And if it doesn't, why am I paying attention to it?
Exactly.
And I think that that's true of anything that you approach in life. And with systems engineering, it sounds like that is very true in terms of the overall picture of what a systems engineer team is working on. If they don't understand the end result or the end goal, the mission, if you will, then that value-driven principle is missing.
That's true. And value is actually a simple equation. It's the benefit you get divided by the amount of effort or resources or cost, right? So if you're putting a amount of cost into something and that benefit is lower than that, and you're into a negative value, that's not good. You know, so you really want that benefit to be higher than the cost you're putting into it. So that's why we also really stress the priority of what you're trying to accomplish. One of the things we really try to stress to our engineers is your requirements as you bringing them in. And requirements is a big thing for system engineers. Next to processes, we really love requirements, you know, because requirements are what describes to us what our customers want, right? Do you know the definition of quality? How would you define quality?
Ooh, pressure.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, but
how would I define quality? I would define quality as a simple definition.
Yeah, there's a real simple one, but I wonder if you're kind of geared towards that.
Quality to me, I would define it as something, I'm going to use the word value again, something that adds value to either myself, my family, my work, the organization that I support.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't have that value, then I don't think of it as quality.
Yeah. And that's actually a very good definition. The simple one I was thinking of was you satisfied your customer. Okay. So quality is that customer satisfaction. And we find that quality is actually something that organizations need to take seriously. And they're the ones that need to impress on their employees that I need you to think about quality. What is the best way we can satisfy our customers? Now, a lot of times you think of customers as, oh, I build, you know, airplanes. My customer is my pilots and the people who are going to actually do it. But actually, you have another customer. It's the organization you work for. Okay. So there's a two-prong aspect to this for quality. It's like, number one, are you actually making a product that satisfies your customer? Number two, are you making that product in such a way with your processes that you're satisfying the organization? So satisfying the organization, of course, normally is either that you're getting the money that they're expecting, right? They're getting that, but you also may be working for a defense organization, right? So you, there's a security aspect in that aspect. What is your mission? What is their mission? Are you satisfying them? So that's where quality to me, number one is what are those requirements that are coming in from your customer, either from the organization or the customer who's going to take your system. What are those requirements? And then how do I fulfill them? And if I fulfill them, I should have a quality product because I fulfilled, you know, what satisfies the customer. So to me, as a system engineer, I actually used to get all kind of upset when they talked about quality and satisfying the customer. I was like, what do you think I'm doing? That's my whole life here as a system engineer, is to make sure requirements are met, you know? And so system, maybe my middle name should be quality, system quality engineer. I mean, would that help you? And so, but I did finally calm down after a few years, you know, and I just realized that we need to really stress to new system engineers, right? And those who are actually working with the system engineers to understand that it's okay to talk about quality and make sure that there's an understanding on all sides in terms of how requirements are part of that. There's so many projects that are finished and we're like, oh, we got all the requirements done. And then all of a sudden the customer is not happy with it. And it's like, okay, something broke there if I didn't get the requirements correctly. So now you have to go back and say, well, how did I get my requirements? Did I elicit them right? You know, you don't gather requirements. They're not just on the ground and you pull them up, right? No, you have to extract them from the customer correctly. And so that's another thing we really push out. And I think I just got so off track. I don't even know what you were asking. All of a sudden we went from value to quality to requirements to, oh, so sorry.
No, I love it. This is such an interesting conversation.
Yeah, you're getting me on my soapbox.
This is really interesting. Now what I'm going to do is bring it back to UMBC's course, the Systems Engineering Principles, System 660. And I'm going to refer back to the definition you gave of quality, because it sounds like when you talked about your teaching principles, it sounds like it's really important for you to make sure that your students get that benefit from the course.
Oh, wow.
But also from UMBC in general, from their education. Yes. This is really important that we're producing students who have this quality in mind and these courses. And so let's talk a little bit about.
It's good you mentioned that, because our dean, right, is now wanting us to redesign 660 so that it actually kind of incorporates that whole aspect of the international view of system engineering. So we're going to use the NCOSI. Now, NCOSI is that International Council of System Engineering. They're the only organization out there that actually talks to system engineering in its total assets. So system engineering from a total standpoint. So NCOSI has a handbook that's based on ISO 15288. And so what the dean has asked is us to create this 660 class that actually focuses on that handbook and does that context thing I told you about at the beginning, talking about the organization and the project and eventually and even agreements and contracts, and then get into the technical processes. So I'm redesigning 660 to do that. And what's neat about that, if we do it correctly, we can actually get an agreement with NCOSI so that students who finish this class will actually come out and they will have the equivalency of the NCOSI System Engineering Professional Exam complete. So they'll actually have that on their check. You know, when they go to NCOSI and say, I want to become an associate system engineering professional or an ASAP, they can say, oh, you took this course. You've pretty much done the exam. You're good. Just give me your application and you'll become an ASAP. And so now they do become an NCOSI member at that time. Of course, they can get it at a student rate, which is nice. That's it. You become an ASAP. So
wow,
it's kind of really kind of nice. And we really want to kind of make that one of our, the way the dean puts it, Woodrow, he puts it as a triple threat, right? We're trying to get you not only where you're being taught correctly, but your experience will back that up. And now you're certified as well from a international organization that says you understand system engineering. So I love that. It's a nice thought that we're sending these students into the workforce with this triple threat as part of their arsenal, that when they go in to show their potential employers that this is what I have to offer. So it's going to be really great once we're done.
Sounds like incredible opportunities for our students. And so say from somebody like myself who is not in the engineering field,
yes,
how important is it to have this kind of certification behind you and your credentials when you're going out there in the world?
What's good about it is that you're actually showing your potential employer that you're actually serious about your career. And that to me is number one. It's easy to get a job and just kind of do the work, but this actually shows that I'm not only doing this job, but I'm taking it serious enough that I'm doing this extra curricular type aspect where not only do I have this certificate, but I'm involved in the NCOSI organization and I'm networking. I'm actually going perhaps to their conferences, symposiums, and I'm keeping up with my profession. And I know what the latest trends are, what's happening. And I think that an employer will look at that and go, okay, this is a person that's serious about what they're doing. And that's what I need, somebody who's serious and that can bring not only their understanding of system engineering into the fold, but perhaps even consider giving us some ideas and innovations in how to improve what we have. Believe me, organizations want to improve their processes. It's the only way they can actually make that repeatability aspect of whatever systems they build, make it more efficient. Of course, they get more money, I guess, or whatever, but you really are helping the organization be much more competitive when they're out there in the field trying to get more business.
I think from an employer standpoint, employers and employees, they're looking for a win-win.
Yes.
If employers have employees,
yeah,
are completely dedicated to expanding their knowledge base,
yeah,
and showing that they have this determination and this ability, then they win. And then of course the employee wins from having this knowledge of body,
yeah,
as well to bring forward to an organization and make a real impact on the world and that organization.
And that actually brings up a good point where when you're going out as a student, you're looking for a new job or whatever, you may want to look for employers that actually are taking seriously their responsibility to ensure that they are doing the processes and other aspects of business correctly. So there's actually ISO standards and certifications a business can have. There's this one called Capability Maturity Model Integration, CMMI. If you find an organization that says, we're CMMI 4, you're like, okay, that's somebody you can get behind, because they are, with that certification, they agree the processes are important. They're going to document them and they're going to make sure all their employees follow them. You as a certified system engineer understand that. So now there's this great synergy that will occur. And that's another reason your certificate can highlight to them, oh, we can trust you within our life cycle model that we perform for our systems that we build and things like that. So,
yeah. That's a great explanation of the importance of of the certification. So thank you for explaining that to me. Mm-hmm. Now, in terms of the course itself, the Systems 660.
Yes.
You will be teaching it in the spring semester, spring 2021?
Yes. Yay. It'll be the first time. Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I've taught 663 for about 15 years. And I've always told the deans, hey, if you need help with 660, I'm here for you. And it really nice. Woodrow just came on board. And I showed him my kind of my vision, what I was thinking. And he just really latched on to it. I'm very grateful that he is trusting me with this, because this really is a foundation that I'm hoping will carry into the other classes. When you take 661, which is about architecture, you kind of have that foundation of where architecture fits within the machinery. And then when 663 gets taught, which is about the other, like once you have the system designed, well, how do you get it out into the field? So implementation, integration, and test is all about that. So those two, if we can really get those two courses more synced up with that foundation of 660, I think a student will just get a real well-rounded understanding of system engineering in its totality. So I'm really excited about this. One thing we do with our processes is, and this is in the handbook, they have these things called IPOs, input, process, output. And those are very straightforward. It's like, here are my inputs coming from other processes. Here are my activities that I need to do for my process. And then these are the outputs that go to other processes. So if we kind of use those as a means to say, we're about to talk about this process, here are these activities, now we go into detail. I think the architecture in 661 and the implementation, integration, and test in 663 will make more sense. We just kind of give them an overview in 660, but in 661 and 663, we go into this deep depth of how to actually work those processes.
Now, in terms of the class itself, what are you most excited about in teaching it?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that, because I've actually been teaching the handbook for almost 10 years. So I actually have my own business, SE Scholar. That business is actually to teach the handbook to potential system engineering professional certificate holders, right? To pass the exam. So I actually teach that class to get the students to understand the handbook enough, so when they go into the 2-hour exam, they'll feel comfortable with the material and they'll be able to answer the questions in such a way that they pass. So I've taught hundreds of students, hundreds. I wish I could give you a percentage of how many pass. One of the problems I have is I teach these students, but then they don't understand there's an application involved. And so I try to explain to them, this is a very difficult application. Please put your time and effort into that. And sometimes I lose my students, even though I taught them how to pass the exam. So it's really sad. But I've been teaching this for so long that this 660 is kind of a iteration of that. And so, but what's nice and what I'm excited about teaching it this way in a college standpoint, not just a boot camp, I'm going to get you through this, right? And believe me, when I just did that 4 days in a row before I talked to you here, and it is nonstop talk. And you know, 8 hours of me talking. And I actually get excited when they go, hey, do you have a question? After 4 days, I get maybe 5 questions. I'm that good, by the way. Of people, right? Yeah, so nobody asks me questions. So when I get a question, I get excited. And of course, I spend 15 minutes trying to answer the question because it's something different, you know. And so then the students realize, oh, we can't ask him a question. He'll get off on something. So anyway, but what's neat about in the college standpoint, I can what I'm going to do is teach the same material, but I'm going to enforce it with these exercises. So I get the students, they'll go into teams and then they'll start working a fake product I found. So I found a product online. It's called Samsung Fingers. And Samsung Fingers is a new phone they came up with, which is actually a glove. And so you put a glove on, the screen's in the middle, and you can do gestures, you can do talk to the hand. If somebody's trying to talk to you, it'll say. And of course, when you talk to somebody, you do this, and it's hilarious. And so I actually work with my students. I said, look, there are actual functions within this system. I want you to give me the measures of performance for this thing. I want you to talk to me. How would you work the maintenance aspect? I want you to work with me and tell me what would you do to elicit the requirements of what you feel user of this device would be. And by the way, you would start thinking your stakeholders, is your stakeholder just my customer wearing this glove, or is the stakeholder that barkeep who has this customer with this glove that's interrupting everything he's trying to do? So it turns out that you find that everybody who's in acting with this glove is a stakeholder. And anyway, so I'm going to do those type of things. I'm kind of excited about that because I really see when they work as a team and have one product to work with, they start getting the points I'm trying to put across. So and they that's my excitement.
They start to feed off of each other too.
Yes.
So that there's this whole dynamic that must be really fun to watch as an instructor to be able to see that come to life.
Yeah. I actually stress to my students that system engineering is a team sport. And when I teach 663, I give them a team project. And at the end, I actually have them do an assessment on their team members. And then I take those assessments and gather them up for each student. And I said, here's how your teammates thought of you. And I said, look, you need to take this seriously. Because when you go out into the real world, you know, you need to work in a team and really be able to benefit the team and feed off each other, not just try to take it all on yourself or let others do everything. You need to be part of that team. And so I find that hopefully it helps them as they go forward in their career, that they have a good sense of what their ability to be part of the team. And I hope to do that in 660 as well, you know, get them to work as a team and see what that looks like, you know, as they're doing it.
Yeah, because that, let's face it, that is the real world. We
yes.
don't work in silos. We
nope.
It's really
nope.
important that people have those sort of soft skills to be able to work with
yep.
people and to be able to encourage each other and engage with each other so that the best ideas can come to the surface.
Absolutely. And that's where in system engineering, there is no way one person could understand everything involved in a system that you're trying to put across. That's why when system engineers get hired, they go into a room and it's filled with system engineers. They're like, what? It's like, guess what? Every system engineer has their area that they need to work, and it needs to all come together. So being able to speak that same language and be able to speak system engineering to one another is the key to that. And that's actually what we're trying to, you know, actually make our students actually understand, is being able to have that language and be able to communicate in system engineering talk. So,
oh, that's great. This has been such a fun conversation. Is there anything that I haven't asked you at this point that you feel would add some value to this conversation?
I think the only thing I would add is going back 15 years ago when we first started the UMBC system engineering classes, we were actually put into place because Northrop Grumman came to UMBC and said, you know what, you know, APL, John Hopkins University, God bless them, they do a good job with system engineering, but we're noticing that it's very ethereal and theoretical, and we really need a practical approach to this. So the foundation of UMBC's system engineering courses were to provide a practical understanding of how system engineering works in the real world. And so one of the things I do in 663 is every class, I teach some kind of tool that they would use in their actual real world experience. So I would teach the students how to do a trade study and then have them do a homework on the trade study and then actually do it. And then they can now take that into, because trade studies, they come up all the time in system engineering. It's something you need to have in your back pocket and pull out and use. I teach them about N-square charts, which are is this very old technique from the 60s, for goodness sakes. There's actually a Mill standard that talks about N-square charts. And it's just a fascinating way to look at components or people or, you know, functions, whatever you put down that and how they interact with each other. And you actually can start analyzing that and try to bring the components or the individuals closer together and make that work better for you. So I teach that. So there are a lot of things like that we try to, from a UMBC standpoint, make this a very practical program for people who are serious about system engineering and really want to get to work right away with what's necessary and what employers are going to want them to do. So I think we really have a surprisingly in-depth program to help system engineers get really practical in terms of what they need to do in the real world. I think that's all I wanted to add.
That was a powerful ending statement.
Yeah, thank you.
I have one last question that I just thought of that I like to, because, you know, you seem incredibly passionate about your students. Yes. So what is your hope for each of your students?
You know, what's interesting is system engineering, and this comes into the play, the fact that I've really dug into, once I got my master's and started teaching it, I started realizing the importance, and this, I'm going to get philosophical and I apologize up front, but it's just, it turns out that we are in a area of our existence as human beings. I've told you I was going to get philosophical. Sorry. And where we need to be more and more worried about systems, okay? The reason our society and civilization is where we're at is because we leaned into science, okay? And that science thinking from Newton on has given us the ability to create a world of all these products and things that we have because we understood the science behind it and stuff. And because of that, we now have 7 billion people on the planet, okay? And science can only take us so far because the whole principle of science is you need to take a complicated thing and break it down into its little components. And then you explore those components and now you understand the whole. And that actually is not true. Okay, it turns out that your parts, when they interact with each other to create a system, will now have properties and characteristics and functions that are not absolutely understood at the part level. It's only understood when it's synthesized and you have the system. It's a thing called emergence. And emergence is something that science can't handle. Okay, science is not geared towards emergence. It's geared towards the part and understanding that, you know, part and what it is. And so emergence is something that I feel as system engineers, we need to own. And now we're kind of beyond science and we need to almost have something else. Now, there is a thing called system science, which to me is kind of an oxymoron, because a system is a synthesis of parts. Science looks at the parts. What is system science, you know? But to be fair, they've done a lot of work to try to bring systems into the scientific realm. And I think as system engineers, we're on the cusp of leading this world into the systems age, which is what we're in right now. Everything is complicated. And complication is one thing, but what about, you know, the whole idea of chaos and things like that? So it's more than complicated. We now have, you know, complexity, and complexity, it's we're going to have to be the leaders to help hone in that complexity. So system engineering is the key to the future. Sorry, but I really believe that if we want a better world, we need better system engineers. And I'm just hoping UMBC can produce those system engineers that eventually can help create this better world.
Oof, wow.
Sorry.
No, that is
philosophical.
Man, that's
let me get off my
but I love that, because like that kind of philosophical talk actually brings emotions to the surface, and that's where things are powerful, and that's where things are understood. And I want to thank you for expanding my mind and helping me to understand that the science behind things, but also this whole just concept that you just brought up about emergence. And you know, I think it's true that everybody wants to make this world a better place in some way.
Yeah, I hope so.
I appreciate that you brought to surface some of these concepts and ideas for us to be able to marinate on and think about and go forward in the world and really make sure that our actions count in making the world a better place.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being here with us today. I really appreciate you taking the time to share your insights with us. They were really fascinating.
No, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. And I hope whoever joins us here at UMBC, we can all work together towards making what we envision a better place. So thank you for giving me this opportunity. Appreciate it.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode of UMBC's Mic'd Up. We hope you enjoyed it. If you'd like to learn more about UMBC's graduate program in systems engineering, please visit us at se.umbc.edu.